News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning to you. Hour number three, final hour of Mobile Mornings on this Thursday on FM Talk 106.5, 807. Dan Brennan, Dalton Arwig, and a few clouds moving in now. We can expect that. The temperature's going to be warm, up around 68 degrees for our high today.
We'll be talking with Rob Hulbert from Lanyap coming up at the bottom of the hour, but plenty to talk about this first half hour. And, well, we can go wherever you'd like to. 343-0106. We could talk about the vaccination rollout in our area or nationwide. And then as the state legislature went into session earlier this week, there have been, of course, a number of bills filed, but some of the more notable ones that people like to talk about, the gambling bill, medical marijuana bill, liquor delivery bill, we can go over that as well, and then where we stand on the stimulus checks coming from the federal government. So plenty to get into during this hour, but why don't we open up the phone lines to kick it off, 343-0106, and Al in Mobile is on the line. Hey, Al.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good, man. How are you?
I just had a question. They're vaccinating the teachers, but why not the bus drivers?
Are they not vaccinating the bus drivers?
I don't know that they're on the list. My wife drives the school bus.
Okay,
what
school district is she with, Al?
Baker High School, College of Middle School.
Okay, Mobile.
MCPSS.
Right.
And I believe that... And, you know, I think I said teachers maybe far too often this morning. Teachers are on the list, but they also said school employees. And then if you actually look at the list that was provided by the Alabama Department of Public Health, who starting next Monday, those that are 65 and older will be eligible. Part of that list, they say people who work in the education sector. They also said child care workers. So I believe school bus drivers would.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Al, is she as a school bus driver, is she employed by the school district?
Yes.
Okay.
By Mobile County.
Okay. Yeah. I think she's good.
I'm not 100%, but I would say odds are that she would be included in the list of those that are eligible.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you
got
so
it.
Much.
Hey, no problem.
Fair enough question.
Yeah, it seems to me like anyone who's involved in education would be eligible come Monday. And we've heard that, you know, some places in Mobile, I'm not sure if this is still a thing, but they've kind of started early with some of those other groups that are technically.
Yeah, some private schools have gotten it earlier, right?
Yeah, so that list, once again, if you want to know if you'll be eligible for the vaccine come Monday, those that are 65 and older, healthcare workers, which they've been eligible already, also first responders, corrections officers, those that work in the food and agriculture industry, U.S. Postal Service workers, those who work in manufacturing, grocery stores, public transit workers. So maybe she's, well, I know school bus drivers aren't public transit, but that's almost two categories there.
Yeah, she kind of does the same thing.
People who work in the education sector, that's teachers, support staff, also community college employees, higher education, child care workers, circuit court judges, or circuit judges, district attorneys, and this one's kind of a new one. I think they added this. People working or living in congregate settings, including but not limited to homeless shelters and group homes.
Oh, wow.
I hadn't seen that one when the list was originally rolled out, but that is who will be eligible come Monday across the state.
Comes at a curious time because now we hear from a national level, the CDC, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, director of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, says the vaccination of teachers, quote, is not a prerequisite for safe reopening of schools. She said during a White House COVID-19 briefing on Wednesday, just yesterday, Jeffrey Zients, COVID-19 response coordinator, reiterated President Biden's strong desire to reopen the schools. Quote, that means that every school has the equipment and resources to open safely, not just private schools or schools in wealthy areas, but all schools, he said. And that's why we need the American Rescue Plan passed now. So this is more directed at some of the big city schools where the unions are fighting going back to work.
Yeah, I know Chicago, they've had a huge battle between the
unionized teacher union.
Yeah, teachers union and the city as they try to get the kids back in school there. Is it Sacramento that is suing their own teachers union in order to force them to go back and start teaching again? I know Seattle has had an issue with this as well. So some of the more left-leaning cities, certainly the teachers unions, which hold a lot of sway in a lot of these cities, they're trying their hardest to not have teachers go back at all, really. I think maybe some of them, they want to make sure they have the vaccine before they go back, but it's been a battle in a lot of these cities. And can you imagine? I know here in Alabama, you know, we had our issues at the start, but everybody was being cautious. And sometimes,
you know, we didn't
know. Sometimes being overly cautious is a good move.
Yeah.
But at least most, if not all, of the school districts in Alabama said, yeah, this is difficult. And maybe that's because of the broadband availability and the availability for some students to have the things like computers or tablets that are needed for virtual learning or school at-home learning. So Alabama and a number of southeastern states and more conservative-leaning states sent the kids back much sooner than a lot of the rest of the nation.
What's the status of Mobile County?
Mobile County is, I believe, they're in school. I know there's a couple districts in Alabama who have had to shut things down for a time if they and especially individual schools if they have a breakout of COVID-19.
Baldwin County had that back in the fall. So,
but at least now it's like a backup plan.
Yeah.
We've been through the virtual learning. If you have to, you can go back to that. And I don't think any school district forced students to come back if they or their parents felt uncomfortable and they had the ability to do the virtual learning. That was the option. But I wonder if this CDC thing that they released yesterday, that statement you just had, if that wasn't in kind of conjunction with some of these cities in order to kind of push back against these unions.
I think it probably was. That's a real good point. So it was, again, probably directed at those cities. Meanwhile, you know, you in big cities like that, look, athletically, you and I watch sports all the time, and they're talking about these college players that are eligible again next year. South Alabama's got a quarterback that'll be, he'll be a six-year senior, Bentley, right?
Mm-hmm.
From South Carolina, Utah.
That's right.
You got COVID-19. It's a pass on this year. Okay, that's athletics. Where are these kids right now, especially in some of these bigger cities, getting completely underserved as far as if you're a second, third, fourth, fifth grader in the city of Chicago or other cities that are suffering or having to bow to the teachers' union, these kids themselves, how lost are they, and how do they recover and get back on track?
Well, there's
do you your fifth grade all over again? And what does that do to the school system?
Right, and we know that school systems like to not all of them and not all the time, but they've been willing in the past to fudge some numbers,
hustle them along,
and make sure those graduation numbers look right, because then if the rankings come out and you see so-and-so school district is at the bottom of the level, even if those are accurate numbers, you're going to be frowned upon by society. So I don't know. Some of these students, and even the students who were able to get back to school relatively soon, they still missed a good portion of the end of the 19 into 20 year, and they had that summer.
Going into
the fall semester of 2020, and a lot of them weren't in then. There's a bunch of kids that just learning online is just not the way to do it, and a lot of kids who didn't even do it to begin with. So this is setting back the American education system.
It really is. Just look at it locally. Look at second, third, fourth graders you know. You might know just their neighbors or whatever. And if a kid was out of school, say he was sick from last March until this November, you'd say they're way behind.
Yeah.
And now you consider an entire school system or many school systems.
And that's before you even get into the mental health part of it with the students who've been sitting at home alone.
Amen. And safety of the kids.
Yeah.
815 FM Talk 106.5. Morning from Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig, FM Talk 106.5. 8:20 Thursday morning. And after 10 years with Dale Marsh at the helm, the Alabama Senate's got a new president pro temp, and it happens to be Greg Reed. He's of Jasper, Alabama, and he immediately accepted an invitation to be on FM Talk 106.5's Jeff Porcho yesterday. Talks about a lot of things. He addressed a number of issues in his 20 minutes on the Jeff Porcho, including gaming in Alabama.
One of the biggest issues, as is always the case, where are the receipts going to go? Are they going to go for scholarships? Are they going to go to education? Are they going to go to health care or broadband internet access, which is one of the biggest issues facing the state? So I think there's a lot of discussion on that that you will hear in the debate in the legislature as well this year.
Want to listen to the entire conversation? Go to the podcast page at fmtalk1065.com. Listen to the Jeff Ford Show every weekday from 9 o'clock to noon right here on FM Talk 1065. Jeff's coming up in just a bit.
And that's really been the hang-up for the lottery bill over the last, it's been a long time. And it's not because the people of Alabama don't want to vote on the lottery. It's because the legislature hasn't been able to decide where they want that money to go. That's where the arguments come in here, because and you'll hear Sean Sullivan talk about it on Midday Mobile often. So many states,
Sean Sullivan's prison lottery.
Yes. And so many states were able to pass lotteries because the money goes to the education system, and mm-hmm. you're doing it for the kids, so how could it be bad?
Yeah, and that was certainly the case. I was in Georgia when they passed it, and that was how they got it done there.
And it looks like Mississippi, I'm sure maybe some of their money in Mississippi for the newly passed lottery bill goes towards education, but they've already said they're spending a lot of their income from lottery taxes on the roads, mm-hmm. on infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And that's the discussion coming up for the legislature now. If you listen to Governor Ivey during her State of the State address, she basically said, the people of Alabama want the right to vote on gaming, and I want to give them that right to vote on gaming, and I hope that the legislature figures that out. But also, the other battle has been with lobbyists for powers that be, gaming powers that be, and some pretty powerful lobbyists in Montgomery who have been able to kind of keep gaming at large at bay.
Yep.
I think people should be able to vote on it, put it to a vote. If Alabama votes to not have the lottery, then so be it. But if they vote for it, then let it happen. We've been getting a lot of texts in here. I appreciate this one from Mike in Citronelle. He said, wanted to thank you guys for the vaccine info. I heard about the 8 Mile Clinic yesterday and was able to run down and get my shot. He said, Pritchard Police and the Alabama Department of Public Health did a great job running the clinic. I think that was Mobile Public Health that was running that one. Maybe ADPH was involved as well. He said, God bless all involved. Those vaccines are our way through this.
Good.
So,
good for him.
And we try to
tell
get that.
He's feeling good about it.
Yeah, we try to give that information out every morning. And also, if you're interested, you can always text us and we'll get that to you as well. Also, text from Jordan. He says, being stuck at home for 10 to 14 days due to contact tracing, the liquor delivery bill would come in handy. And that is another one of the bills that's been filed.
Not going to be in time for Jordan. I don't think they're
so.
Not going to rush it through so Jordan can get some Stolies delivered to his apartment sometime tomorrow.
I think some of these, as I've been calling them, the sexier bills that are trying to make their way through legislature, I think those will be maybe towards the end of the session after they get some of the quote-unquote important things done over these first 2 weeks. We mentioned the medical marijuana bill that's been passed through the Senate committee again. What's it been, 3 years running?
Yeah.
But this liquor delivery bill is SB 126 and would allow businesses to be licensed by the ABC board to deliver alcohol to residences. And the rule, according to this bill, would be you could deliver to one person in a single delivery. Of course, you would have to be at least 21 years of age and older, so someone, an adult, would need to be on site to sign for the package.
I could see those ABC workers just buzzing all over town like Papa John's. Suddenly they're like, man, the phone's ringing off the hook. We weren't ready for this. The phone is ringing off the hook.
If you've ever ordered food delivery from one of those services and you get like, I don't know, for my family, two adults, mm-hmm. one of those that eats a lot.
Mm. I'm going to try. So Vicky has an eating problem?
Okay, that's, I can't let this go any further. That would be me that does the eating. Two little kids. So,
right.
You know, a standard bill for a standard restaurant, we're looking at $30-$35
for
a delivery one. But then you add in the delivery fees, and that $30 bill turns into like a $55 bill. So if you get a bottle of, George Dickey, if you get a bottle of something that is $20-$25, what is that delivery fee going to end up being?
I don't know. Isn't that on you as the consumer? Don't you make that, or is there a fee put on top? Is this a tip or a fee?
Well, they usually recommend both. They put a delivery fee on there and then also a tip for the driver. So that's how it escalates.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not arguing that they shouldn't pass this bill. There are so many states that are already allowing this. And like our texter said, it's come in handy more over this last year, like Jordan said, than any time prior with people stuck at home. But I'm just thinking ahead, if this is passed, how much will those delivery fees be rather than, you know, just running down the street and picking up stuff for the Super Bowl party?
Yeah, you're going to have to increase your energy and go out and do it yourself if you don't want to pay all that money, for sure. This is an interesting one right here. Dalton, we've got a unnamed texter. I'm in and out of multiple businesses, hospitals, schools, courthouses, etc. every day. You would think that outside salespeople would meet the criteria for the shot.
Mm.
And in a way, you kind of think they would, right?
Yeah, you would think so, but I can't really... There's no real category that's listed in this next week that would apply.
Right.
But that is one of those positions where you're in contact with the general public every day.
I'm thinking about the ABC liquor store guy that's now delivering to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and where do state employees fall in this? I haven't necessarily seen, I mean, corrections officers, they will be eligible, and you go down the line. I'm not seeing where state employees that are in contact with the public every day would be eligible either. And another text regarding who's eligible come Monday. Did you say food service workers? Does that include vendors that deliver to grocery stores? It's kind of like, this is almost like reading the Constitution, and people can probably read into it in different ways and come up with different results from depending on how they read it. So if you're a vendor that delivers to grocery stores, they say that grocery store workers will be eligible.
Also, they are now, yeah, they're eligible now.
Also, manufacturing workers, food and agriculture workers. If you're delivering groceries, would you fall under the category of grocery store workers? Would you fall under the food and ag workers? I don't know, because you could tell who these are, who these categories are pointed after.
I think they're in between. I think they fall through the cracks, guys delivering right now.
And I know we have, you know, obviously so many honest people who don't want to break the rules.
Jump in line.
Did you see that story? Was it New York City, a SoulCycle instructor? So SoulCycle is like one of these
Peloton?
Peloton. So it's these fitness places that have been opening, you know, over these last years, especially, that are really specialized. And they're like cycle instructors. And this woman passed herself off as an educator.
But aren't these cyber?
I can't remember her story in particular.
Are they on site? But if she's like a cyber instructor, like Peloton, like somebody, I don't even know how that industry works.
Then she's not even in contact with the public anyway.
Right. Exactly. And so she, and a former employee of hers, did not have great things to say about her. In any event, she got the shot, and then she gloated about it online, and no self-awareness, got massive feedback that was not very positive at all.
Yeah, and those stories are popping up of people who just, you know, they're selfish in real life, so they're going to be selfish in regards to this. And a lot of people that have a lot of money feel that they deserve to jump in line, and don't act surprised. It's happening right now.
It is happening right now, absolutely. And so, look, if you're going to sneak around and get the shot when maybe somebody who is 75 plus hasn't gotten it yet, just be quiet and get it. I'm just going to offer that advice.
Yeah,
be quiet and get it, and be happy that you have it. But understand, our main goal right now is to take care of people who are most severely compromised, and at an age 75 plus, let's do our best to get all them first, right?
Yeah, it's a tightrope. You want to get the vaccine to the people that should get it first.
Right.
I think 65 and older is more important than any other category of people. 65 and older is
or people who younger than that have got these conditions that they could be terribly compromised, and we've seen that happen tragically around here.
And that hasn't been discussed enough either.
No.
Some of these immunocompromised people, that's something that needs to be added as well.
Rob Holbert with Lanyap. We'll discuss the latest edition of Lanyap with him, and more news from around Mobile on the way. FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan and Dalton Ortwig.
FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Ortwig. Let's talk with Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
What's happening, guys?
Oh, man, just having a blast here at FM Talk 106.5. And you announced some new deals at McConnell yesterday.
Yeah, we got the deals on Buicks, man. You got money and 0%. You never really have that.
No.
But we've got it going on here. And don't forget about the used cars. You know, check those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Still got plenty of 3/4 tons and half-ton trucks. Got some Yukons and Tahoes. Check those out. Most of them are certified GM, which gives you an extra 12-12 on the warranty. Well, but like you said, the deal is money and 0% on that whole Buick lineup over there. Enclaves, Encores, and the Envisions. I think the Envisions got $8,000 and 0%. I mean, come on now. They're giving you money and they're giving you 0%.
Yeah, that's an incredible deal. And remind people the website, McConnellAutomotive.com. Great place to check out if you're looking for a new or used vehicle.
That's right. And you know, you got any questions on it? You want better pictures? I mean, I should say better. You want any more pictures? We'll send you a little video of the car. Just give us a call at 251-476-4141.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
As Louie Arata, you'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Lanyap on the streets now. You can pick it up. You can also, of course, if you want to go online, you can do that. You can subscribe to Lanyap.
Yeah, and joining us this morning, as he does every Thursday morning, Rob Holbert from Lanyap. Good morning, Rob.
Morning, guys. How are y'all?
Doing great.
So, like Dan just mentioned, you can always pick up the Lanyap on the streets, but if you want to be in the know all the time, I suggest you do like I've done and subscribe online, lanyapmobile.com. How do people go about doing that?
Well, you can go to my.lanyapmobile.com and get signed up. It is 21 cents a day. You wouldn't miss it. And it really, as you said, you know, if you want to know what's going on every day, we're putting stuff up all the time. There's breaking news all the time. Especially since Tommy Hicks has joined us, there's sports news that's constantly coming on, and you know we do have breaking news, and you know you don't want to miss those things. Not to mention, you know, get our weekly the Lagnapod, our podcast every week, and there's some other benefits there as well. So you know it's just something. It's a convenience as well. You know you can if it's pouring rain, you don't have to run out and find that paper.
That's right. And I want to talk about your cover story here in a minute because I think you did this strictly because Jeff Poor and his wife just had their first child. So I think that might have played a role in this. But first, I want to get your take on kind of what we've been talking about this last half hour and the vaccine rollout in our area. And we have all these new categories of people who will be eligible officially come Monday, and we've gone down that list. And what's your take overall on how this has been handled by the ADPH and Mobile Health Department? I mean, it's tough to make everyone happy, but Dan and I were saying, you know, of course you want to protect the elderly, 65 and older. They should be taken care of first, but we have a ton of people texting us with that they're immunocompromised, you know, in their mid-50s, mid-40s, or have children that have gone through some serious health issues. These are the people who have not left home over the course of the pandemic. Yeah. I just kind of want to get your overall take on the rollout of these vaccines.
Well, I mean, I think obviously it was a little slow at first. It seems to be picking up.
It does.
A story this week about Gabriel Tynes, you know, basically that you know, just a few weeks ago, they were, you know, initial goal was like 150 people per day. Now they're setting a sights on 1,000 a day. So, you know, obviously we're picking that pace up. You know, and that's the University of South Alabama has been working with the city. They're doing a lot of shots down at the Civic Center. You know, the question of who should get one first is a tough one for everybody. I mean, I think it's very clear that people 65 and up are, you know, 80%, almost 80% of the deaths that That's a no-brainer. And clearly, people who have you know, compromised immune systems, every time you say, well, they ought to do, you know, this group first, and somebody says, well, no, you need to do the first responders first, or you need to do these people first, it's like, well, yeah, but, I mean, it, you know, the reality of it is that the people who are dying the most are people who are over 65 or the people who have serious compromises, you know, and the rest of us probably ought to wait in line a little bit more.
I don't know that everybody is, to be honest with you. That's one thing that's a little concerning to me. I mean, is everybody really waiting in line or not?
I don't know, that's the other part about it is it's like, you know, people are being encouraged to sign up and they're signing up and they're being selected. And, you know, so, you know, the process is sort of, they're looking at them, they know who they are, and they're saying, yeah, come on in and do it. So I don't know that I'm going to blame the person who signed up and said, you know, I'm ready to go whenever you are.
Got it.
And they call them in. And I mean, that's kind of what's, I'm getting a lot of that too.
Okay.
Sort of, I'm getting signed up and they're going to call me when it's time. And then they call them and say, come on in.
I will say, I think we're very fortunate where we live and on both sides of the bay, having so many healthcare workers and so many health organizations. I mean, what USA Health has been able to do with the supply that's been given and infirmary and Ascension Providence. I mean, I don't think I've been thankful enough for where I live, not because I want the virus first or anything like that, but just because it's different than living in some of the more rural areas of the state or even in some of the bigger cities that just don't have this health care available.
Yeah, I mean, we are fortunate in that regard. I mean, they're definitely, you got to feel like, you know, some places in the state, I mean, we've had issues before all this started with counties losing hospitals, not having any hospitals at all. You know, can you imagine what it's like trying to get this service at this point? You know, eventually it will be, you know, at every drugstore, that kind of thing, you know, or maybe in our case, maybe it's going to be available at every Dollar General store in some little town.
Yeah.
that's where we are. So there are people who are definitely in a lot worse shape than we are as far as the ability to find a place to get a shot.
And speaking of healthcare, that's what your cover story is this week. And I can't wait to read this. Honestly, I haven't had the time yet to thumb through it. I'm planning on doing that later. But Miracle Babies, Center for Reproductive Medicine brings new life to Mobile. Cover story by Allison Shepard. Kind of take us through this. Give us an overall view of what this is about.
Well, the basic thing, the number that jumped out at me in this story is that 1 in 8 couples has an infertility issue. And I thought that's kind of an astounding number.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that many. And basically from what Allison discovered in doing this is that it's about equal in terms of, the man is having trouble with it or the woman is having trouble with it, you know, or they're both, they're issues on both sides, you know, so it's not a, you know, quote unquote female problem versus a male problem. So, and it's, you know, it's obviously one that, you know, this probably sounds silly. I'm not trying to be goofy about it, but it's, you know, when you grow up, you know, you're in college and wherever else, you spend your time trying not to get somebody pregnant, trying to be pregnant early on. And then, you know, when you say, okay, well, now we're going to have a baby, and all of a sudden it's, well, wait a minute, you know,
yeah,
you can't have one. And I mean, some of these people, too, have been dealing with problems since they were, you know, they were teenagers and you know, endometriosis and things like that. So this is, it's a really interesting story about folks who've been able to overcome that with the Center for Reproductive Medicine here, because a lot of folks will think, oh, you know, I'm having this problem. I need to go to Atlanta. I need to go somewhere big.
Yeah.
And now they're able to do it right here.
That's outstanding.
Are they able to do it for couples who both have got the problem? Wow.
Yeah, they've had, you know, people have both, you know, there's stories about folks that had that issue on both sides as well. And, you know, some of them, a couple of them that she talked to, they had to get in vitro and help with having a couple of children. And then, the next one happened au naturel. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, their bodies kind of reset or something, or just the problem was kind of mitigated in a way, I guess. But it's for those folks, it is a miracle. And they've spent a lot of money doing it. It's expensive. It's not covered by insurance. So it's a tough thing for folks.
Dalton, by my math, Dalton, you don't have that problem.
Not at all. Not at all. I have the opposite problem, actually. That's so exciting, and I'm glad that Lanyap spent the time to write this story. I have family members, I'm sure just like so many, that have not been able to have children. And, you know, when they found out, they had two options, basically, either adopt or go on without children. And so that's just another, you know, advancement in healthcare that is happening right in our backyard, and that's so cool to hear.
Hey, Rob, hang on if you would, Rob. We've got a special treat for you. We will invite you into our world. The segment is called Flag on the Play, and that's a local story that's got Dalton's attention. So that's on the way on FM Talk 106.5. Rob Holbert with Lanyap. Jeff Poore had a big show yesterday. Had everybody but the Queen of England on on the lineup between 9 and...
No, she was on.
She was on right after Tuberville?
Yeah.
Anyway, Jeff Poore show, always great listening, especially if you are somebody who's got a keen interest in Alabama politics. You can't miss it. It's at 9 o'clock. Well, you could miss it, but I wouldn't recommend it. It's a little after 9 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5 at 8:51 now.
And, of course, you can read Jeff Poore's writing in Lanyap every week, which is available now, the newest issue. And we continue our talk with Rob Holbert from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com.
Rob now visits our world. This segment is called Flag on the Play.
We've got, and this may be a flag.
This could be a flag right there, Dalton. What is your Flag on the Play story?
All right, so I saw this story last night and immediately texted it to... Well, everyone I knew, just to make sure that
they... Did you text it to Rob?
I forgot to text it.
They did not. They did not.
To Rob.
I'm coming into this thing blind. I'm flying blind.
Okay.
So, I've got to wonder how this happened. All right. So, Mobile police said they made an arrest. They made the arrest at the end of January. They said they got a call to the hospital. A man showed up there with injuries. Now you're wondering, you know, what happened to this guy, right? Well, he told his story to the police. He says he went to the Motel 6 in Tillman's Corner, and he went with a another male, but also a female, and they were planning on, having a party of three, I guess, is the way to say this. And so
the Motel 6, very classy.
Yes, and just a little early. Wasn't quite Valentine's Day, but so
I think Valentine's Day is pretty much reserved for two.
Oh, okay.
So
the male suspect, according to the police, became agitated and began to assault the stranger that they'd invited.
Here's where the
and this may be a flag.
See, Rob, this guy, he goes into, you talk about going into something blindly. Now, he walks in with all the effervescence of someone about to have a party of three, and suddenly the other guy starts beating him up. It's like, that really wasn't in the playbook.
Who knows? You're sort of opening yourself up to anything.
I think he did.
He shouldn't have been surprised whatever happened. So
he never will be again.
The woman then took the other guy to the hospital.
The stranger
after getting beat up by the other guy, and then the suspect fled. So my flag on the play here is, if this is you and this happened to you,
right?
Why are you even telling your story?
You got to keep that thing quiet, man. There's no way.
And this may be a flag.
Exactly. Yeah. Like it can end up like now on a radio show. Rob, your call on that, please. Your journalistic slant on.
I would also say, you know, discretion might be the better option in that one. You know, it might be just better to say, well, you know, you engage in something that maybe it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to, and just, you know, take your lumps and move on.
You know,
learn a lesson.
You see great hitters all the time, and Dalton and I, big fans of the Atlanta Braves, but there's some nights that Alcuna goes 0-for-5 with three strikeouts. He's not happy about that, is he, Rob?
But no, probably not.
He keeps it quiet, he goes home, he mulls it over, and he watches film, and he tries to get better for the next day. Well, and I think that's where this guy went wrong.
It may be this fellow with the injuries. Maybe he's actually a good Samaritan. He just didn't want this to happen to
somebody else.
Yeah, so he told his story.
Maybe. He's looking out for all the other other third wheels out there.
So there's your flag on the play, by the way. The flag on the play is I keep hitting that commercial.
he got a flag for unnecessary truthfulness, I think, on that one. Too.
So there you go. Thank you very much, Dalton.
He fell down a flight of stairs or something. It would not be easier.
So many stories you could have gone with.
And I love the MPD. You know, they've had to break bad news time and time again. And finally, media is asking them about something they were probably giddy to tell the story.
You know, this is what, you know, I've complained in the past about the not being able to see police records, you know, not being able to see
old
police reports that used to go to. And this is the kind of story that we miss, you know, that you don't get to see very often anymore. Although they've been better lately about telling, like putting these things out. But, you know, it used to be when I started, you go through this basket of things and look through the narrative and you see these insane stories that are just hysterical. I mean, and people do the craziest things that, and I mean, we used to, when we first started, have this police blotter thing that
was those type of stories because it showed what the police dealt with. I thought it was an interesting slice of life. Not so much you know, chasing bad guys down the street, but here's a phone call that you got last night. Not
going to
believe it.
My dad was a small town judge lawyer, and he would visit the police station every morning, and basically he would say to me, Danny, nothing would surprise me, because he had the intel. And this is a little town in New Jersey where not much happened, but evidently things were actually happening.
If there was a big stack, I just couldn't wait to read them. There's going to be something.
Right. And it seems like we've had some more outrageous stories over these last couple weeks right here in our own backyard than we've had in a very long time. That includes the lady who defecated in the police car.
I think MPD lately has been sort of putting those things back out there. They sort of really went silent on those for years. Mm-hmm. Lately, they're coming back out. They're throwing them out there in the police blotter for us. And there's some pretty funny things out there and bizarre things that are going on.
Exactly. It's kind of like, you really want to know what our job is like?
Yeah.
I always think it's probably in their best interest for people to understand a little bit of what's going on.
I would agree.
It's not all eating donuts and coffee shops, man. There's some weird stuff.
Just a couple minutes left here. I did want to get your take on a hot topic for us and listeners this week. City of Mobile, Mayor Stimson's office said they're shutting down part of downtown for Fat Tuesday. And a lot of people saying, well, if they're shutting it down for that party, why not go ahead and have the parades? And Mayor Stimson, he recently said, I think in last night's newsletter, he said, listen, this was going to happen. We're just trying to make it safe as possible. You have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, people need to remember that the parades, most of the parades were canceled by the groups themselves before any of this, before the city ever canceled it or anything, you know. And so that complaint is really, to me, a waste of time because most of these groups had said, we're not doing it.
Right.
And so it just got to be a moot point when the city finally said, hey, you know, we're not going to have parades. But this has been building to this whole, everybody come downtown. I mean, it's you know, this is sort of an organic party that's growing. So I think the city's just recognizing that and saying, hey, you know, people are going to do it. We're going to try to make it as safe as we can by blocking off some streets.
I think Dalton and I agree with you 100%. It's like the storm's coming. What are we going to do about it?
Right.
I mean, we recognize that. Yeah. We work down here and you can tell it's going to happen. I mean, and then I went down to Heroes the other night and the guy's like, hey, man, you know, we got blown away last night. A bunch of people just showed up here in lieu of the parade they were supposed to have. So, you know, it's happening. I think the city's just trying to respond a little bit. I don't think the city's really promoting this.
Nope. Agree 100%. Rob, thanks for your time, man.
All right. Y'all have a great day.
Rob Holbert, LanyapLanyapMobile.com. Get signed up online. Less than a cup of coffee a day. And you get that great Sunday brunch newsletter from Rob as well.
Jeff 4 on the way. Another great show. Then Sean Sullivan, Midday Mobile, all on FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. We'll do it again in the morning starting at 6 a.m.